Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good morning. It's Keith over at Pensacola Business Radio. We are live here on a lovely October Tuesday morning. I've got some great guests in the studio with us today. I have Miss Keisha Royster. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fantastic.
So Keisha's from Division of Bond Services, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Right.
And you've had a busy morning, I hear.
I have.
Well, we're going to talk about here in a minute. So I've got Drew Hargrave here from Hiles McLeod Insurance.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've got Mr. Greg Strader here from Brace. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad it's dry now.
Yeah, I know. And you're back from vacation, so this is sort of the re-entry for you, isn't it?
It is.
All right. Well, let's, Keisha, let's talk about what it is that you do. And so just so everybody knows, you had a froggy morning, right?
I really did. The frog decided, you know what? I want to get out of the rain, so I'm going to jump in your house. Yeah. So I was attacked this morning.
Yeah. Attacked by a frog, right? Thing with it, huh? That's all right. I got a thing for spiders. So we've had this discussion already. So tell me about the Division of Blind Services.
Okay. Well, I've been with them about 8 months, and the Division of Blind Services is there to ensure that blind or visually impaired Floridians have the tools and the support and the opportunity to achieve success. Now, what I do with them, I do job development. My official title is an employment placement specialist. So I go out in the community, network, and present my clients, those that are capable and ready to go to work, and try to find them jobs or work experiences to kind of bridge the gap in their resume.
So what kind of services do you guys offer? I mean, tell me how it works. I mean,
okay. So for our particular agency, you have to have a bilateral eye condition. So something has to be going on in both eyes, and you could be visually impaired or you can be blind. And they simply apply. You have to meet certain qualifications, but it goes from there. There are some people, their particular goals are education, and we help with that. It could be helping with eye surgery. It's that. Or in my case, they're looking for a job. They've been unemployed for some time, and they need me as that liaison to go in. And so for me, I'm building relationships and a lot of kind of like, you know, it's who you know.
Mm-hmm.
In terms
sure.
of when you finish college, you talk to your friends and you ask them, hey, do you know such and such is hiring? I've applied. So I'm that person. I'm the who you know that goes out in the community and network to get my clients hired.
Okay. And so, and I know you're working with a lot of other organizations too, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You're not just going out and finding all those people that need help. So you guys are very tied and active in the community. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So who are some of those other organizations that are working with you guys?
Okay. Well, I partner with IB West, which is Independence for the Blind, and they just did their, National Cane Day on October 15th. And, I try to get out as much as I can. I am a part of the chamber, a part of Powerful Women of the Gulf Coast. I think that it's very important to be involved in the community and let people know that we are here, because you may have one day, you know, conditions with your eyes that may affect you doing your job. And so we're here to help you with the different types of assistive technology. There's so many things out there, from your iPhone, iPad, how to navigate that. I met a guy in Daytona who is completely blind, who was managing a multi-million-dollar reconstruction project. And that just let me know that there's nothing you can't do when you are determined
sure.
to do it. And so those are the clients that I have. They are determined, they're willing and ready to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what kind of tools are out there for somebody that's got some vision, you know, issues or troubles? And I guess my first question is mm-hmm. what qualifies you to be blind enough to be in this group? I mean, are we talking you've got some trouble seeing, you've got a large prescription, or are we talking 20% blind, 100% blind?
Well, you can be completely blind, so that's
sure.
100%.
Sure.
And then you can be legally blind. And it just depends on a lot of technical jargon that, you know, acuity.
Yeah,
and
that's Drew's area, apparently, with the insurance. He's technical jargon.
Yes. So you need pretty much an ophthalmologist to kind of they are the people that qualify
right.
you. So we send you over to be able to determine the level in which, if we can't help you, then you would end up going to VR.
Okay.
Because VR handles a multiple disabilities, and we only are singular focused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what kind of tools do you guys use to okay, so let's take this guy in Daytona who's running a multi-million-dollar company, right?
Yeah.
which I would love to be doing one day, blind or not, to be honest. But how? What tools is he using to do this? Because I mean, there's a lot, right? There's
more than you can imagine. There's a program called JAWS, and it's hooked up with your computer system, and it reads emails, text, everything to you. It's reading it to you. They can read blog posts and stuff, and it goes really fast. It's an audible voice reading every single thing to you. So sure.
I've always heard you lose sort of one of your senses, or it's less than 100%, mm-hmm. and your other senses are like superpowers.
Not for everybody. It's something you will learn to alter, adjust, and adapt to the different surroundings. And you have people who, a lot of our clients have diabetic retinopathy. And so that's where, of course, you have diabetes. It affects your eyes. The retinas in your eyes start to detach. Mm-hmm. And that's a big thing that we're starting to see in America, is because it's health related, or you were part of a traumatic injury. And so you're learning different things. You have Braille. Most people have heard of Braille. Like I said, you have JAWS and Magic, and the Apple company does a really great job with staying on top of things and making adaptive technology for individuals that are blind or visually impaired. So those are the types of technology that you have.
Yeah. What are you guys seeing the most of here in Pensacola?
In terms
of the tools that you're using, or some of the situations. I mean, you're obviously dealing with a wide range of people, mm-hmm. right? So let's talk about the community here in Pensacola.
Well, I'm over 10 counties from here to...
Wow, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did not know that. You are all over the place.
I am. I've been everywhere, that like the song says, burn a lot of miles. But from here to Panama City, where I'm over those different counties, you just have everything. Most of my clients, only two are completely blind. The other ones have some sort of visual impairment. And that's what I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so... aside from the computers and the translating stuff, are you guys teaching skills and all of that? Are you teaching people how to cope with this kind of stuff? I mean, are you getting people in the beginning of this kind of mm-hmm. blindness, or are you getting them sort of in the middle? Or, I mean, how's that working?
Now, we have counselors in the organization, and so that's what they would do. They would help someone in that beginning transition. Then we partner with IB West, which is a great institute that helps people with living skills and different things. And then we have a rehab center in Daytona Beach, and they go through everything. It's almost like a boot camp of teaching them how to now balance your checkbook now that you're blind, how to count your money, how to fold it in a certain way so you know that people won't cheat you.
Right.
And we even have devices, and the name escapes me, that will read the money for you.
Mm-hmm.
It will tell you what color that you're about to wear, what color is that shirt, what color is that pants.
Wow.
Yeah. It's
very cool.
Everything. Any and everything that you can imagine to do your everyday life, there is some sort of adaptive or assistive technology to do it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you what, we just spent the weekend at the I-10 Wired thing.
Yeah.
And I bet, and we didn't get to go do some of the tracks and stuff, but I know one of the things that they had was wearables.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet there was some stuff in there that was dealing with that. But that's cool now that obviously our technology is fast enough and far reaching enough to have done that for somebody.
It's up to date. I went to a training last week, and I struggled because I said, what if I lost my sight tomorrow?
Yeah.
And trying to learn these things, and I am rigid in certain ways, and I like to do things how I like to do them. And it was a challenge for me. It was challenging. We have simulated models where you're completely blind, and you are trusting someone else to guide you, to get your meals, you know, to show you how to do everyday life. It is a challenge.
Oh, I had a hard enough time with the trust fall as a kid growing up.
Yeah.
I mean, I got dropped once or twice too, so that didn't help. But I could imagine the challenge that it would take to actually, I mean, to just let go. I mean, obviously you lose some form of independence in that, but to let go of that and have to relearn everything that you've already learned.
Yeah.
So how does somebody apply to your program?
They can stop by our office, which is 1120 North 12th Avenue. It's right by NB Cook. So they can come in they can call us. Our phone number is 850-595-5282, and we can get a application out to them. And that's the beginning process.
Yeah.
And then they go through different meetings, and from there, The counselors will assess their goal. And if their goal is to be employed, then I'm their girl. I'm the one that goes out there and pounds the pavement every single day looking for jobs and opportunities.
So, well, with that being said, so you've got, there's a whole bunch of bias that you face every day, isn't there?
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about that, because obviously not only is it a challenge for them, but it's got to be a challenge for you too, right?
Yeah. It's frustrating at points because you hear the stories. And one time I actually went to someone that said, no, they're a liability and I'm not going to hire them. And I was, and it was, I will never say the business name, but I was very shocked because that's something that you, people say behind closed doors.
Yeah.
But never in front of someone's
face. Well, that's because it's illegal in front of your face. Well, it's illegal behind closed doors too, but you know.
Yeah. And so I've had those opportunities where it's like, okay, I'm going to overcome, because I almost take it personal because I know what it is,
sure.
You know, to go out and look for a job and be fully qualified and for whatever reason, you know, didn't get the job. And I know that that's discouraging. And then when somebody faces that discrimination in a sense of why they didn't get a job, because I have people who have master's degrees and last time I checked, they don't do honorary master's. You earn
Yeah. They're not just giving those out on the street corner, are they?
You earn that. And then I've had opportunities where I've walked in and they wouldn't mind me saying their name, Shoreline Deli, Manoli. Awesome. Walked in, told them what the program was, and he said, okay, not a problem.
Yeah.
Give me some more information.
Sign them up, right?
Sign them up. And my client actually got hired there. So I can't be more proud to meet different people that are willing. All they need is just that opportunity.
Yeah, that's it.
That's all.
Yeah.
Because I will never speak to someone or tell them someone had a capability or just to, you know, check a box and say that I have accomplished something and I got somebody a job and I know that they're going to fail. So I'm going to send you qualified people, and whoever I speak to you about, they can actually do that job. Because that, you know, I would break that relationship. It would be disingenuous.
Sure.
And that's, I feel like your name and your word is your bond. And so that's, they're hiring off what I'm saying. So I feel like if that person fails because they're not qualified, then that mess everything up for the next person.
Right.
And then I never know who they know that may say, you can't trust Keisha because, you know, she's sending me people that are not qualified.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing you're not. Let's make sure everybody knows that.
Yeah,
he's just sending
quality,
good people.
Quality people who are willing and ready. And statistics will show that people who have a disability are less likely to get injured on the work versus somebody who is, you know, considered fully able.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they're a little bit more alert to some things.
Yeah.
Sometimes,
and they work
whereas some that are not disabled or not. I mean, that's a natural occurrence I could see in your brain chemistry.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Well, let's tell everybody one more time where they can find the Division of Bond Services, Facebook, websites, all that good stuff.
You can go to our website. It's myfloridadbs.com. You can step in our office. Again, that's 1120 North 12th Avenue, right in the heart of East Hill. And we're
there. You're close. You're right down the road, huh?
Yeah, I love the area.
Yeah. I used to live in East Hill. I live in Gulf Breeze now. I used to live in East Hill. I loved it.
Oh,
I've thought about moving back to it. So
You should.
Well, it's the one place that doesn't fall underwater lately, you know? So, well, Keisha, I want to thank you for coming in today.
Yes.
Hang out for a little while.
Okay.
Yeah. And for everybody else, in case you didn't get all of our information, we'll have it on our website as well as some awesome pictures that we're going to take today and links to the show and stuff, okay?
All right.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, Drew.
What's up?
You're up, man. Tell me, so I sort of have the inside track here because, like I said, Jason and I went to high school together, but how's McLeod Insurance? And I want to say you guys might have had a busy last couple of days with the storm maybe, right?
A little bit. I'm not sure that we've had too many claims so far. I did have a couple this morning that I saw come in via email. So I think they're going to start coming in probably today.
Yeah.
I think people yesterday were kind of hunkered down and now today they're noticing where, you know,
they're actually getting out of the pajamas and coming out. Yeah. Like me, who decided, okay, you know, it stopped raining. Maybe I should go to work.
Exactly.
So, well, let's talk about who is Hiles McLeod Insurance.
Well, Hiles McLeod Insurance is a locally owned, independently operated, independent insurance agency. That means that we don't represent any one carrier. We represent hundreds of different insurance carriers. It allows us to shop your business so you don't have to. It also allows us to shop your business among different carriers in order to get you the best rate and the best coverages.
And you guys have been here for a while, right?
Yep. We celebrated 50 years last year. So we're in our 51st year. We were founded in 1964 by Henry Hiles and Walter McLeod were on 9th Avenue in the same place that we've been since 1964.
Same building, man. Same building.
The inside looks much updated, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, it does not look 50 years old, but you're right. It has been the same location for the last 50 years. So what types of insurance coverage do you guys write?
So we focus on business insurance, homeowners insurance, and personal lines. The majority of our book is business insurance, but we also write a lot of homeowners and personal auto.
Okay, so let's sort of break that down a little bit. If I'm a business, well, which I am, but let's just say your average business owner here in Pensacola, what kind of insurance am I looking for?
The most common business insurance coverages that we sell would be property, general liability, workers' comp, business auto liability, business auto physical damage, umbrella liability, professional liability. It all depends on the type of business you have.
Yeah.
But the most standard, I mean, if you're talking about a restaurant, you're going to need liquor liability. You're going to need employment practices liability. Yeah. In reality, every business needs employment practices liability. But there are certain businesses that are more susceptible to a claim from an employment practices standpoint than others.
Yeah, like the guy hiding behind the not hiring the blind guy, right?
Exactly. That's an employment practices liability claim waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Well, in restaurants, I mean, particularly, they're very susceptible to employment practices liability.
Sure.
They have a very high turnover ratio. You have a high number of employees that work a low number of hours. They're not loyal to you. If you don't, you know, if they make you mad and you fire them, they're going to go work at another restaurant.
Yeah.
And, you know, they don't really care what they say. They don't care what they say to fellow employees. They don't care what they say to customers.
Yeah. So. So you're talking to a guy who has an extensive culinary background as prior to all of this, I was a chef for many, many years. And number one, we don't care what we say. The kitchen must have been the dirtiest place. It was like being on a sailboat or on an aircraft carrier in the military, I'm sure, because we were all cussing like sailors.
Yeah, I worked in the restaurant industry for a while, I understand.
And everything is hot, sharp, slippery, greasy, and just ready to cause havoc and mayhem, which is what made it so fun, because it literally was physical challenge. Every day I went to work, kept you on your toes. But you're right. I could assume restaurants are probably one of the most riskiest.
They definitely are high hazardous.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I remember all the training that they'd give us to not make us high hazardous, but it was just part of it. So, you know, you said you do homeowner stuff too, right?
So we do.
What else is in that kind of category?
Well, homeowners includes obviously your house. It also includes your personal vehicles, your pleasure vehicles, RVs, motorcycles, as well as your personal articles floaters, like your high value jewelry or your fine arts coverage.
Yeah.
Personal umbrellas. Right now, we're really pushing personal umbrellas. It's not something that a lot of people have really thought about purchasing in the past. They're really cheap, and society becomes more and more litigious every day. If you're not buying a personal umbrella, and you're doing anything, if you're out on the road with an RV or a motorcycle, if you're operating a vehicle at all and you've got the chance to injure somebody else or cause property damage to somebody else, you should look into.
So if you're texting and driving, maybe this is for you.
Yeah. Or
just stop texting and driving. But so, well, when you say personal umbrella, but let's talk about that for a second. What I would assume by the terminology, that means that pretty much anything that I could happen to me or could happen to somebody else, I could cover for that.
So you would schedule anything that you have that could be considered a liability underneath your personal umbrella, such as if you've got a personal home, you've got a vacation home, and then you've got two or three rental dwellings, you would schedule all of those under a personal umbrella. You would also schedule your personal vehicles, your pleasure vehicles, your boat, your RV, all of that underneath your personal umbrella. So if you had an accident in your boat and you carried $100,000 in liability in your boat,
sure,
but you know, God forbid, seriously injured somebody or killed somebody, and a court says that you're liable to the extent of $1 million, obviously that $100,000 is not going to take you very far. So the personal umbrella is what would respond in that case.
So is it sort of an addition to, or is it an all encompassing that, could you do a personal umbrella and then just kind of be done with it?
No, it would be an addition to. Yeah. You'd have to have underlying policies for each exposure, each liability in order for that personal umbrella to respond for that claim. It normally is a follow form. So it follows however the underlying liability for that potential exposure is. So if you've got, you know, like I said, your boat and it has certain restrictions, the umbrella is going to have more than likely the same restrictions. You can get, you can get either an excess liability policy or an umbrella. The umbrella, a lot of times, is a broader coverage than the excess liability. The excess liability normally will follow exactly the underlying coverage.
Yeah. So, and it is strictly to items and articles that are in your ownership, right? Like, cause there's some days I walk out of the house in the morning and I think, well, maybe I'm a liability today. But, you know, I mean, there are people out there that have those kind of jobs or do those kinds of things where, you know, personally injuring somebody by what you're doing.
No, you're still on the right track. Some kind of action that you did caused injury to somebody, your liability, more than likely your homeowner's policy, believe it or not, is going to protect you personally for liability. But then your umbrella, if for some reason your homeowner said, no, we're not going to protect you, the homeowner's policy is a lot of times pretty all encompassing from a personal liability standpoint. And people don't realize it.
Right.
It's broader coverage than most understand. But if it would not, if you had a personal umbrella policy, that's what you'd look for coverage.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm really not a liability when I walk out of my house every morning. I'm just trying to get a laugh out of you. So, well, or maybe I am. I don't know. I guess it depends on whose opinion you're looking at. So, let's talk about some of the businesses are you allowed to name some of the businesses that you guys have under your umbrella?
Well, yeah. How about I just talk about some business industries?
Yeah.
Industries that we kind of have had a lot of success with.
Right.
From an agency standpoint, we're probably about 70% business insurance, 30% personal lines insurance. We write, we're a generalist agent by nature. We don't necessarily specialize in any one industry like some of the other agencies in town, which is pretty cool because we've got carriers for pretty much any type of business, but we don't specialize in that one niche market. But we write a lot of churches, a lot of, you know, houses of worship, religious institutions. We write a lot of restaurants. We write contractors, all the way from artisan contractors like a plumber or electrician, up to a general contractor or a residential home builder. We write industrial manufacturing risks, and then we write a lot of lessors risks, so people that own, you know, strip shopping centers or office buildings such as this building and lease it to a bunch of tenants. We write a lot of that, and we write just a lot of Main Street America business, the mercantile retail type businesses.
And so you guys have some great references, I'm sure, because having a broader insurance perspective, I'm sure, has given you guys a really good resource, you know, and because, you know, like we're talking, what happens in the restaurant industry doesn't happen in the textile industry, right? Which maybe doesn't happen in the healthcare industry or in the renters. So
you're right. I mean, each industry has specific risks that you have to be aware of, and you have to have experience, like specifically in insuring churches. You have to know the specific coverages that they need, like pastoral professional liability coverage and sexual misconduct and abuse and molestation coverage.
Sure.
I mean, in a restaurant, you obviously need to have liquor liability, and you really need to stress the importance of employment practices liability. And spoilage coverage, you know, you may not need spoilage coverage if you're a radio station, but if you're in a restaurant, you've got $20,000 worth of raw inventory ready to turn into, you know, dinner, then you probably need spoilage coverage.
Yeah. And, I remember in my culinary years, we used a Broadline Food Service Distributor, but every piece of food that came off of that truck had $1 million insurance policy for just that reason. And that was just the food, so I could only imagine. But all right, so having this broad client base and being able to insure through multiple industries, I bet you guys have a pretty good idea of the current state of commercial insurance.
Absolutely. We keep our finger on the pulse of the market. The current state of the market, especially with regards to property, we are in the softest market that I've ever experienced in Pensacola in almost 9 years of insuring, being a commercial insurance agent in Pensacola. We keep saying we're going to get to the basement, and we keep finding another lower level. So,
right.
We've got to get there soon. I just don't know when it's going to happen. But, what that means for business owners is that if you haven't looked at, you know, getting another quote or a alternative quote for your property renewal, you should probably be talking to your agent or talk to me, and I'll see what I can do for you.
Yeah, you guys can probably save them some money then.
More than likely, if you haven't looked at your property in a while. Now, liability and everything is pretty flat. Most of the carriers are trying to get a little bit of rate, which makes sense. But with the property going down, it more than evens out. Really, it normally is an advantage still for the business owner to take a second look right now. But as far as just representing a bunch of different carriers, it allows me to negotiate the terms and conditions with multiple carriers and kind of get them working against each other to get the best rate and the best conditions for my client.
Well, yeah. And the other thing I would think that you guys would see is it's got to be probably every 6 months to a year, but somebody's adding some other item that now has to literally be typed out into your policy.
Yeah. I mean, we get endorsement requests on a regular basis.
Yeah.
For the most part, the majority of the endorsement requests are pretty easy as long as it's something similar to what their business already is. You know, it's more difficult when we've got a restaurant that now decides they're going to be also hosting a radio show or, you know, something completely different and they want to add it to the same policy or,
right.
You know, somebody that manufactures a part for a car and now they've decided they're also going to make guns and they want to put it all under the same entity. That's a little difficult.
Sure. So what are the new types of insurance coverage that business owners should be considering?
Well, cyber liability is the thing
I knew you were going to say that when I asked that for some reason. I really did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's reality.
It's huge.
Yeah. If you ignore it,
you're
probably going to end up out of business. The claims notification expense is the major reason why people need to buy cyber liability. Most of the time, the actual loss from a breach of whether it's a paper breach or a online breach, normally the actual loss is a very small percentage of the total claim. And the majority of the claim is claims notification expense. The state sets certain requirements for claim notification. You have to meet those requirements. I think there's a minimum of 2 points of contact you have to make, mm-hmm. either certified mail, email, or telephone contact in order to let somebody whose personal identifying information has been breached.
Yeah.
And personal identifying information continues to become broader and broader and broader as
yep.
a term. Now, if my name and my home address is breached, which is readily available
sure.
in reality.
But I'm just kidding.
is breached on somebody else's you know,
network or, yeah,
then that's a breach of information
yeah.
and could end up with a claim.
So, like I've said, we broadcasted I-10 Wired Thursday and Friday, which was a fantastic, but I learned so much about cybersecurity and how actually easy it is to get that kind of information or to be a company holding that information. And like you just said, be absolutely liable for something down the road that could happen.
Well, and most people think, oh, we don't sell anything on the internet. We don't keep our records in the internet. It doesn't
Do you
matter.
Got a loyalty program?
Yep. Do you keep any
record
for your clients or your customers? If you do, even if it's in a paper file, you're
yeah.
susceptible to a
yeah.
loss.
If you have a computer hooked up to the internet, you have created a liability there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And,
Just a website with the name
yeah.
of your business, your telephone number
yeah.
could end up with a cyber liability.
Yeah, there were some points in the show when I was just ready to hide under the table. So, and I guess the positive side to the other half of this, because a lot of people hear about it and they get scared, is that there are companies like yours that protect you on that side of it. There are companies that we learned about at I-10 that are taking the right steps. There are schools and educations out there that are trying to combat all of that kind of stuff so that people don't necessarily, even if they are going to be a criminal and something's going to happen and that it's not going to go taking down the American businessman or just, you know, totally destroy everything that you've spent the last 20 years building as your American dream. So,
well, and a lot of the cyber liability policies, include a ransom coverage where a hacker actually breaks into your network
yeah.
and steals your network and says, I'm not giving you access back to your network or your website or whatever it is until you pay us $50,000.
Yeah.
A lot of those cyber liability policies include a coverage limit for that.
Yeah. Sad that we have to think about that kind of stuff, but you know, there you have it. So, well, let's talk about, because this brings me to my next thing. So I need some insurance and I need to make sure that I'm, what's the sales process here? I mean, you guys coming down to my business and checking it out? Or are we going to, you know,
it's totally up to you.
Yeah.
I go and visit with business owners, or the executives that make the insurance purchasing decision
yeah.
on a regular basis.
What if I don't know what I got no clue what I need?
That's all right. We're more than willing to kind of lead you in the right direction and provide you with quotes for different types of coverage. It would be up to you to decide what you're going to purchase and what you're not going to. It's really what you're comfortable spending
sure.
on an annual basis in insurance. There are certain things that you have to carry from a either, you know, state requirement or lender requirement. I mean,
right.
obviously, if you have a loan on a piece of property, if you have a loan on a vehicle, then you're going to be required to carry property insurance or vehicle insurance. If you have a lease, like a lease in this building,
sure.
more than likely your landlord's going to require that you carry general liability and provide him with a certificate of insurance, naming him as additional insured. So, those requirements are pretty easy. They're pretty straightforward. There's normally not anybody requiring that you carry cyber liability, but it's up
I
to
I bet
us
after this show they will.
it's up to us to explain it to you and then show you what the cost is and let you make a business decision. Can you afford it? Does
yeah.
it make sense economically? And then there's a whole breadth of coverages that we can provide to you. And it's up to you what you determine is the most important for your business.
Yeah. Are you guys capable, and I don't know how this works in your line of industry, but you know, sometimes people, business owners, they don't even realize what part of their business may be a risk.
Yeah.
You know, so are you guys able to identify that kind of stuff?
To an extent. We're not risk managers.
Right.
That's
a whole other animal.
Yeah. And so we are, we will help them to identify the exposures that they have so that we can ensure those exposures.
Sure.
But we're not going to come in with a spreadsheet of here's what you need to do.
Right.
Now a lot of the carriers that we represent do have full-time risk managers on staff. And a lot of times, if you insure with one of those carriers, you get access to that risk manager at no additional cost.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not only is it at no additional cost, sometimes it's a requirement.
Yeah.
Come insure with this. We're going to come in. We're going to do a risk management analysis, loss control survey. We're going to provide you with recommendations.
Yeah.
If you want to continue to insure with us, you need to comply with the recommendations.
Yeah.
But,
which is smart. I mean, you really need to know where you're possibly at risk or where you could be liable and you don't know you're liable.
Absolutely. Some businesses are like, well, I don't want them telling me what we need to do and what we don't need to do, but they need to realize that
you don't want
those
$1 million lawsuit
exactly,
either.
Those recommendations are not only to protect the insurance carrier, instead protect the insured as well. That way the insured doesn't end up with a loss for something that could have been avoidable.
Right. So which to me is just smart. And so it's good to know that you guys are able to connect people in that way. I mean, to me, if I'm out there looking for a company that's going to help me get the best deal and make sure that my butt's covered, for lack of a better term, you know, it's nice to know that you guys have access to that. So Drew, let's tell everybody where they can find you guys, get some information, call you, get down and see you.
Sure. You can find us on our website, www.hilesmcleod.com. We're on Facebook, Hiles McLeod Insurance. You can give us a call at 850-432-9912.
Okay. So, Drew, thanks for coming in and hanging out. We'll have to give Jason a little brashing since he decided not to show up today. And I'm just kidding. I invited him, but he said, no, Drew's way better at this, so I'm going to send Drew. So, but I'll have to let him know that next time it's his turn. So.
Sure.
But hang out with us for a little while because we're going to talk to Greg Strader from Brace. How are you?
Doing great.
So tell us what Brace is, because you guys have been busy this weekend too.
We stay busy. Brace is a national award-winning community-based disaster coalition with over 500 partners that was formed after Hurricanes Ivan, Dennis, and Katrina.
Yeah, because why would we need anything after those storms, right?
Oh, my goodness.
So let's tell everybody what BRACE stands for.
BRACE stands for Be Ready Alliance Coordinating for Emergency. So you quickly know why we
yeah,
refer
why
to
we're here and what we do.
BRACE, yes.
So, We know the purpose is for you guys to be here, but let's get into that in a little depth. What do you guys, tell me your programs. I mean, you guys have got to be involved from the beginning all the way to the end.
We really are. We serve as the Citizen Corps coordinator on behalf of Escambia County, City of Pensacola, Town of Century. We serve as their contractor to provide those services, essentially making our community safer, stronger, and better prepared for disasters of all kinds, yeah, including terrorism.
Cyber attacks.
Yes, exactly right. We also serve as the CERT Community Emergency Response Team Coordinator for those same jurisdictions, engaging individuals, regardless of needs for accommodation,
right,
in training that will help them with disaster preparedness, fire safety, fire suppression, search and rescue, planning for disasters, organizing teams for disaster. Yeah. We offer that training in Braille, for example, to provide accommodation. We've had individuals that are deaf and hard of hearing that we've accommodated through in sign language interpreters.
Yeah. Sure.
We really want to reach out broadly to the community and make that training, 21 hours of Department of Homeland Security training, available to everyone in our community.
So, and obviously, you know, for those of us that live here in Pensacola and the surrounding areas, we know the importance of being prepared for one of these storms or any natural disaster at that point. Obviously, hurricanes are number one on our radar. So, and we just spent the weekend getting the leftover of, I'm calling it Hurricane Mexico, man, because that thing was just huge and powerful and all of that. But yesterday was pretty violent rains and winds and all that good stuff. But I don't think I really realized how well being prepared helped me until after the first storm I went through where I wasn't prepared, you know? So is this something, can I call Brace and say, hey, what do I need to do? Is it that easy?
Absolutely. We welcome those calls. We welcome visits to our website. We connect businesses and individuals with information that will help them become more resilient. We were asked to provide some consultation in New Orleans after,
sure,
Hurricane Katrina because of lessons we had learned. One of the things that we learned from that process was a lot of the businesses that closed after Katrina closed because of key employees. There's not been redundancy for those key employees.
Right.
When one of their key employees evacuated and couldn't get back to the community promptly, there wasn't crossover. There weren't other individuals
that could do that job.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And of course, we all know the last thing you want to do is keep your business closed any longer than you have to, you know, because you're already losing money and time. But not only that, you want to be able to help the community. And I know there was a time when, even working in the hospitality industry, man, we were trying to be the first people to open because we knew, one, the power was out, but we had food. So there was something we could do to help somebody somewhere.
That's,
you know,
great.
So, but you're right. There were some key employees that couldn't get back. And so we were very limited to what we could do to help. Something like that I didn't even think about.
It's a great lesson learned.
Yeah. So what other kinds of programs do you guys do? I mean, are you coming out to people and businesses and teaching them, you know, are you walking around their businesses and teaching them what to look out for or what they can do, or how does that work?
We can do that. That's not really our specialty. Our specialty is just to provide information through webinars.
Yeah.
We've done a population protection exercise, essentially a live shooter exercise,
yeah,
on a webinar basis, to provide individuals information about what to do if they're facing that kind of scenario. We have access to Federal Emergency Management Agency resources. We have access to data from the State Emergency Management Agency. The director of the Florida Division of Emergency Management served as our keynote speaker our annual meeting, providing, mm-hmm, updates on what's going on in terms of emergency preparedness throughout the state. We serve as a link to the Florida Division of Emergency Management. For example, they're going to have an upcoming public-private preparedness summit mid-December in the Panhandle. And as soon as details are finalized, that information will be on our website, and we'll be sharing that broadly with all of our partners.
Okay. And it sounds like you guys are doing a whole lot of teaching.
We're a lot of the lessons you've just heard about from the other speakers yeah. are lessons that we're incorporating, making sure folks have access to information, making sure individuals know about the importance for a flood insurance, for right. example. Only 9% of the families that registered for the flood last year with FEMA had flood insurance yeah. is an example. Business interruption insurance is one of those things.
All of those things you need to call yeah. Drew for, right?
Yeah,
So tell me, is Brace, are there other, people out there? Are there other organizations like this out there? And are you guys unique to what you do?
We are similar to VOADS, Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster. We're similar to COADS, Community Organizations Active in Disaster. But we're really leading the way in many respects. FEMA's recognized Brace and our partners more frequently than any other locally based organization throughout yeah. the country. Thanks to our 500 partners, we're able to do a lot of things right. We're able to solve problems that other communities aren't solving because they're trying to do that through individual organizations instead of through coalitions.
Yeah. Wow. So 500 parts. So you guys, you got a pretty powerful network then.
We do.
I got a feeling you can make a couple calls and get things moving faster than maybe FEMA and the rest of the guys sometimes, huh?
Well, it's been fun to be at the White House and talking with Craig Fugate, the administrator yeah. for FEMA, about things that can be done differently. We had an opportunity to reach out after the flood to advocate for federal resources to help with case management to support yeah. individuals.
And get the money here faster, huh?
That resulted in $905,000 in federal funding flowing into a 5-county area.
Yeah, so, pretty quickly too, actually, if I remember right. You know, I mean, I know by the time the water had finally receded, a lot of the construction and maintenance and stuff had already started. So that's maybe thanks to you guys then, huh?
Well, it's thanks to the partners that are involved and those that were able to involve when disaster strikes. 4,300 businesses in our local community closed permanently after Hurricane Ivan. We yeah. want to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Yeah. Well, and so let's talk about what you guys did in the flood, because I think that's probably the most recent. And I can tell you, I had a very, very large experience with it. It wasn't my house, but it was friends and family. And, in the middle of the night, water was coming in. And the next morning, we woke up. And I guess we're going to call it fate, but I-10 shut down. So I was working in Mobile at the time, so I could not literally drive to Mobile. The other side roads, obviously, had been flooded out. So I think after about 5 minutes of watching that radio that on the news, I got the phone call, and we had friends and family whose house was halfway underwater. And what we didn't know was a flood zone and had never been targeted as a flood zone. And maybe they were sort of in the middle of the street. So you had all these houses at the top of the street that were dry, but because maybe a degree or two difference, but the water ran to it. And so, and there was the house. But so where did you guys come in and play a role here?
We serve as the lead organization for Escambia County, serve at the Escambia County Emergency Operations Center as the lead organization for Emergency Support Function 15, coordinating volunteers and donations for all the government organizations and engaging faith-based and community partners along with business and industry, because we serve as a COAD,
right.
a community organization active in disaster. We were able to reach out to member organizations of the National Voluntary Organizations Active in Disaster. We're able to bring Operation Blessing, Southern Baptist, mm-hmm. Florida Baptist, engage them in efforts to muck out and tear out from homes. 572 homes mucked out, torn out by
yeah.
over 1,100 volunteers that donated over 39,000 hours in supporting those families just in the response phase. Now we're involved in recovery, and to date, thanks to voluntary organizations and their volunteers, 37,000 hours of volunteer service that have so far supported 88 low-income families in
yeah.
restoring hope, restoring homes, getting them back into safe, sanitary, and functional housing.
So you guys sound like a very, very effective middleman to an extent. I mean, just to break it down in some really easy terminology. Sure. I mean, you guys have, you have a pulse here on our community. You know, immediately after a disaster with this many volunteers, I could see how you could cover a wide range of our region to know where the worst is. And so you guys can then, you talk with the governments and all that. You are immediately getting those things needed to the places they are needed.
That's exactly our role. When it comes to volunteers and donations, we are a link between the Emergency Operations Center and our partners in the community at large. We've got 83 faith-based organizations that in turn use CERT-trained individuals to reach broadly into the community and have their fingers on the pulse of what's going on.
Yeah. So I keep hearing the word volunteer. So let's tell people, if they want to do something with you guys or with Brace or just, you know, be able to get in contact, how does one join your organization?
They can reach out to us on our website. There's an opportunity to become a partner, literally on the website, www.BeReadyAlliance.org. They can call us at 850-444-7135 or email us at brace@bg.
So we can go on, we can sign up to volunteer, whether it's going to rip out houses or pick up debris, or we can go as far as if a business needs to be a resource for you guys. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
All of that can happen there. So, aside from the volunteers and the businesses that jump in, how are you guys funded?
We're funded as a contractor for, again, Escambia County, City of Pensacola, Town of Century. Thanks to their support, we've been able to draw federal funds to our community in ways that few organizations have been able to draw. We've been able to triple federal funding for disaster preparedness as a result of the grant applications we're drafting and preparing for those governmental organizations that they're submitting to the Florida Division of Emergency Management for federal funding. We also provide services to the community, and some of those are cost of recovery.
So what do you guys need now? You know, I mean, obviously you can always need volunteers. I've never met an organization that has volunteers that doesn't always need volunteers, but you know, what else in our community do you guys know that you have a need for?
We know that we need organizations that can support efforts in times of disaster as case management organizations, literally linking our organization with the survivors of disaster by providing case management services that can help us prioritize those in greatest need, those with low income, those that need some form of accommodation, because unless we've got that linkage that can have individual conversations with the survivors, we're not going to prioritize as effectively as we can. If we have that linkage, we can always use funding to support those individuals that are struggling in their recovery from disasters. Some 300 families have indicated that they need assistance as it relates to the flood of 2014. As I say, we've assisted a number of those, but it's incremental and it takes time and it takes funding to be able to do that. Volunteers are a critical component in that, but volunteers by themselves aren't going to provide the building materials and supplies necessary to reconstruct a home.
Yeah. So if anyone listening today is capable of doing that, obviously, let's go to the BeReadyAlliance.org and sign them up, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Greg, listen, I want to thank you for coming in today and telling us all about Brace. Honestly, an organization that I had no idea existed until I met you. So this is great because I really think getting the word out and knowing, because crossing our fingers, we've had a good couple seasons. I don't even want to talk about it because I don't want to jinx it, but we've had a good couple seasons here. But you know, when something happens, you need those kind of resources. So
gotta be ready.
All right. Well, I want to thank all of our guests again. Thank all of you for coming in here today and sharing your businesses and your stories with us. You can find us at PCola Radio X or on our Pensacola Business Radio for Facebook, or our website at www.pensacola.businessradiox.com. Again, thank all of you for coming in here today, and this has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters.